When Graham Anderson came onto the platform this morning, and opened up the Word of God. He started in Psalm 8, and I was sent to Psalm here, and I was sent to Graham before he went out, and says, "You just sealed that what I was going to speak, because I was starting off with Psalm 8. So we leave all these things to the Lord. I heard somebody saying once before, when somebody got up to speak, he says, and he came down, he says, "You know, you took my thunder." Well, I don't look at that. I take that as a seal of the Holy Spirit. If I've got it in the morning, we'll finish the day with the same. But I become in a different direction, and that just shows you what the Word of God is like. It's deeper than all the oceans of the sea, and the Word of God is mighty in power, as we heard our brother this morning. But I'm only going to mention one verse in the Psalm 8, and maybe you come along with me to Psalm 8. And for Psalm 8, we could nearly say it just in a couple of seconds, but I want you to read it, and those that may be listening would see it as well this evening. What is man? What is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him. What is man? Well, man is God in his own image. Just think about that. Man is God in his own image. Well, how do you come to that, Davy? Well, you come to that by looking at Scripture. And we'll look at Scripture in Genesis chapter 5. Now, when if you come along with me. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, please. Now, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. In the likeness of God made he him. I just want to say, before we go on any further, so those that believe were here by a big bang, or evolution, whatever they want to think, keep your finger on chapter 5 and come with me to chapter 1 of Genesis. Pick out the verses what I want you to see. And God called, verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the garland together of the waters called he seas. And God saw it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth,
And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding the seed of his kind, and the trees yielding the fruits whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. Go over to verse 21, please, the same chapter. And God created great whales and every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning was the fifth day. You know, today, you get many varieties of things. Take the chickens. You get many varieties of chickens. But they're still chickens. You get many varieties of food. Fruit. You get seed for a fruit, an apple tree. But it doesn't grow a peach or a pear or a plum. It's always after its kind. It's the same. A monkey doesn't become a man. Adam was made in God's image. So we're finding in chapter 5 of Genesis, God made him in his own image. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. I want you to remember that. In his own likeness. After his image, called his name Seth. So Adam was made in God's image. But the first son of Adam was made in his image. So what's happened? There is something happened in between. And what happened is that Adam sinned, as we heard this morning. Adam failed. And he failed miserably when he agreed to eat of the apple which was offered by Eve. God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Now go to Genesis chapter 3 with me. Verse 17, please. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, and saying thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou returnest unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6 says this, And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Adam had sinned miserably. And through Adam's sin, we have failed. For all have sinned and come short
of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, no, not one. So God saw the wickedness of man. God saw a world of people. Inwardly, corrupt. Outwardly, violent. And outwardly, rebellious. And there is no difference today in our world. Just look round and you can see it yourself. What is happening? See, when Adam sinned, the heart was changed. The light went out. Sadly, he lost the light, he lost the fellowship, and he lost the image of God. Ezekiel tells us in chapter 11, verse 5, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. God knows all about us. And don't you think he doesn't. He knows what they're even thinking in the seats here in the hall tonight. What they're thinking at this very, very minute. Every one of us, he knows all about us. He knew about me when I was born, even before I was born. He knows about you, friend, that's unsaved, that doesn't believe in God. Or if you do believe in God, you don't believe what we're saying. In Job 14 and verse 5, it tells us this. Seeing his days, man already determined that the number of his months are with thee, thou has appointed. Thou has appointed his bounds that that he cannot pass. Now what does that mean? Well, that means that he has numbered our days and has set a limit beyond we cannot pass. Now what does that mean? Well, that means he has numbered our days and set a limit beyond which we cannot pass. It means, as David would say in Psalm 31 verse 15, my times are in thy hands. Now what does that mean? It means my whole life. My whole life is in control with God. God is in control. He controls everything. He knows all about us. He hears us. He sees us. He knows all about us. He knew me before I even knew him. And we're the same here. Every one of us. Adam failed, as we heard this morning. But the last Adam didn't. As by man's sin entered into the world, so death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. See, the first sin wrought the morals and the ruin of the race. Death is universal now. All die. Because the wages of sin is death. Eva's infants died. Moral people die. Religious people die. Good people die. We all die. God is in control. And that's what Adam had done to the human race when he sinned against God. You know, nothing reveals a man's character like his tongue. Scripture tells us it's a thing it cannot be told.
Even a horse has to be put in his mouth to keep the thing to drive it.
The same with big ships or rudders. The tongue is poisonous. One minute it could be praising God, and the next minute it could be doing something else. Like the tongue, it reveals what's inside man. When you go to the doctor, the first thing a doctor would say to you, let me see your tongue. Why is that? Because by looking at your tongue, they can tell of all different health conditions. It's the same with the eyes. Look in your eyes and they can tell different health conditions. I went to get my eyes tested a few months ago, and the fellow says to me after the examination, he says, you've got blood pressure. He says, I can see it in your eyes. Are you getting medication for it? I says, I am. They can tell nearly everything that's in the body by your tongue and by your eyes. Even by your blood. They can tell by your blood what you have and what you don't have. Look at the world today. It's a world of trouble. It's full of it. It's also called a veil of tears. Why is that? Well, Job 14 tells us in verse 1 that man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Job 14:19 tells us this, we dwell in cottages of clay, and our foundation is in the dust. Also that there are always mourning, no sooner is a tear dried up on someone's face than it's running down another's face. It's a terrible world that we're living in. Remember, the Lord himself wept. He wept at Lazarus. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When we go to Revelation chapter 21 with me, please. Just one verse. We'll just read a couple of verses here. Verse 4, please. It says here, come in at verse 3, just to get the connection. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all the things that I will be his God, and he shall be my son. There's no tears, no pain, nothing in heaven. It's all down here. It's all down here because of Adam's sin. Adam's sin, and that's why we're in the pain that we're in, and all that's going on at the present time. We're told that in Ezekiel, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. I asked someone very close to the family who was terminally ill when they were making plans for the future, although they had no future. I says to them, what about the plans for your soul? They said to me, David, I do not have that kind of faith. I thought that was sad. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For by grace we are saved through faith. It is not of ourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I spoke to that person, gave him a New Testament. It was all marked in the verses and the chapters where they should go to. They promised they would read it. I don't know whether they read it or not. I don't know whether they get saved or not. I hope they have. It's sad in these times, in these days, that God is rejected. Just the same as His Son. His Son came into the world to save sinners. And that's the only way we can get saved, is through the precious blood of our Saviour and Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's a person that we love dearly, and we don't know. That's in every household. Every day it's happening. Every week it's happening. Every month it's happening. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth in the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Why would a drowned man, a man that's drowning, and you handed him a staff or a rope, and he wouldn't take it? Is there a man that wouldn't grab it? Why are people in that state, when they hear the word of God, they've nothing to lose, everything to gain? I can't understand that. Because the day I heard the gospel, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. 3 weeks later, I took Him as my Lord and Saviour. See, tonight, Adam sinned. Adam failed badly. And so do we all. Even as Christians, at times we fail badly. But our sins are forgiven. And we have an advocate that we can go to. But friend, who have you to go to? If you die in your sin tonight, there's a place for preparing. It's been prepared for the devil and his angels. John 3:16 is one of the greatest verses in God's word. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first Adam failed, as our brother said this morning. The last Adam did not. The last Adam paid the price for God. There's a person. The Almighty God, the Creator. The one that created the heavens and earth you've been reading about. There's the one. It's saying, for God so loved. And that so loved is a big world. And that love, a big love. It's an everlasting love. There's the proclamation. The world. There's the place. It's full of sin. There's a virus in it at the present time. And I believe, and most of us believe, that it's a judgment from God. They still won't listen. They want to do their own thing. Sadly, it's young people as well. As they made they gave the figures the other night on television. From 18 to over 40 is the main culprits at the present time. Why would they do the likes of that? Why? Because nobody's going to tell me what to do. Same as this book. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That is man's attitude even today. But God knows all about us. He knows what we're thinking. He knows the next move we're going to make. For God so loved the world. And there's the promise. Shall not perish. There you're getting a promise from the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. There's the promise that you only have to look and reach and take it. It's a gift of God. You don't have to pay for it. It's already been paid for. It's been paid for at Calvary's cross, to the death of God's own Son. Oh, friend, tonight, if somebody came up and gave you a gift, would you throw it in their face? For politeness, you would take it. But you not take this, because God says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not interested in the kingdom of God at this present time. You don't believe God. You don't believe there's a God. Whatever you believe, you must believe his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 21 at verse 8. I stopped there. But the faithful and the unbelieving. You're there. The unbelieving and the vulnerable and the murderers. Oh, I wouldn't be in that company. You're there. And the whoremongers. And the sorcerers. And the adulterers. Oh, aye, there you are now here. all the liars. Man, we've told some lies in our time. The government are full of them, all over the world. But the Almighty God doesn't tell lies. Our Saviour doesn't tell lies. Yet you'll not listen to him, but you'll listen to other boys and listen to their lies. Shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh yes, it's not all over. As I told that friend, the minute your last breath passed from your body, your soul and spirit will leave your body. Said, no, David, that's the end of it. Cremation is the end of it. Friend, I'm sorry. The Lord says, fear him that can kill the body, but also fear him that can kill the body and the soul. The only begotten Son, the love gift of the Father to save the world from sin and condemnation. Man will not take it. I don't need that. I'm getting on all right. Sure, I've got a great job. Look at that banquet I've got. Everything's going well for me. Well, how did you get that great job? Well, I was educated and... Aye, well, who gave you the brains? Who gave you the health and strength to do the job? Who gave you all these things? Well, I was born with them. Yes, you were born with them. Who gave you them? Because we're all different. Every one of us is different. Some have got more brains than others. But we all have our niche and the places and the jobs to do what we have to do. Everything we've got is from the Lord. We're playing a bit out in the back there. Health, strength, food, clothes, homes, families. They're all from God. Does he get the thanks? No. He doesn't get the thanks. And then they wonder why we have a virus the way we have. They wonder why all the things that's happened, earthquakes and all around the world, why it's all happening. Because God is speaking and nobody is listening. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no other way. The only way is by the way of the cross. And if you die in your sin tonight, friend, or tomorrow, or whatever, if you die in your sin, you go straight to that terrible place. There's no need for you. Take the rope, take the staff, and grab it. Take the word of God to yourself, and you'll get life, and you'll get it more abundantly. Everyone who is in this hall are saved by the grace of God. Then, drinkers, gamblers, and all the things you could think of. Change life. If anyone be in Christ, in a new creation, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm pleading with you tonight, friend, if you're listening to me. I'm pleading for you to look at these scripture verses. If you don't believe me, read them. I'm only bringing the message. I'm bringing the Word of God to you this evening, if you're listening. Don't be a fool. Take him at his word. You'll take somebody else's word. You take maybe your neighbor's word, your brother's word, your sister's word, or somebody else's word. And yet you won't take the Almighty God's word. God's Son, who made it all possible, his beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, when he went to Calvary. His own Son, his very own Son, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Nobody left out. Not one person is left out. You've got an opportunity. It's all the world has an opportunity to come. His begotten Son. And this was manifested, that the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. What like is your life? How far are you down? Or how far are you up? That could change. But if you're down, you can get up. But it's a fact that if you're up, you can come down. Whatever, it's for all that's done. His obedient Son, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He suffered for you and for me, for everybody in this hall. He suffered for the world. His beloved Son, his own Son, his dear Son, his begotten Son, his obedient Son, his dependent Son. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also does the Son likewise. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved the world, the Son loved the world, that he gave himself a ransom price, that you and I might love. How often have you heard the gospel, the good news? How often have you heard the word of God and you've refused? Maybe you're a backslider tonight. Friend, get back. God is where you left him. Get back. The Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died for you and for me. He didn't die for nothing. He died for you and for me. He loved you. And he gave the Son, the Father gave him the Son for you. I'd like to finish with Luke chapter 16. Everybody in here knows it. And so, I want to show you, friend, what may happen if you don't take this gift. Verse 19 of 16. And who's speaking here? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lazarus is the man that we're going to talk about, and his name means God is my help. God is all our help in here this evening. God is there to help. All you have to do is accept him. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had it made, hadn't he? And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores. He had nothing. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from a rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. We were talking in the back room about the people lying in shop doorways and all different places around the streets. They had nothing. There's people travelling from all over the world in boats to try and get a better life. Nothing. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. See the difference? And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. I want you to see here, this man has got feelings. He can see and he can speak. He can see and he can speak and he has feelings. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. That's not just for a couple of hours, or a day, or a week, or a month, or a year. Eternity. Would you take that chance, friend? Would you take that chance tonight? Can you say tonight you were listening and you weren't told? But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. At the end of the day, there's no difference between the rich man and the poor man. The rich man's finding it harder because he's rich. He remembers. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. And so they which pass from hence to you cannot now, they pass to us that would come from thence. There's a great distance, a mighty distance. But it's too late. It's too late. Friend, you're too late if you're here. It's over. That's why I tried to tell that friend of mine's and pleaded with her. As soon as the soul leaves the body and the spirit, it's not over. It's only beginning. It's only starting. Then he said, I pray therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He's praying. He's praying now. Why is he praying? He's praying because he's got kin. And he doesn't want them to come down where he's at.
For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. It's a terrible reckoning coming, friend.
This is the word of God. This is the Lord himself speaking. The one that died upon a cross. The one that gave his life a ransom price that we may live. This is the one that will judge you. This is the one. I told you. You were told about me. This is the one that will pass judgment. The one that you reject will bring judgment. Because Scripture tells it's not God that will do the judgment, it will be Christ himself. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Moses and the prophets. You may have heard the gospel many a time. You may have heard it at Sunday school. And you rejected it. They had Moses. And they had the prophets. This wee land is full of preachers and teachers of the word of God. There's hardly a tree or a post that you don't see the scriptures. You've no excuse, friend. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't be foolish, friend. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. Or would they? Would they? The answer's in the last verse. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, Neither will they be persuaded through one who rose from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon a cross for sinners condemned and unclean. He died upon a cross. Scripture tells us he died upon a cross for sinners condemned and unclean. The hand is out to you. The rope's been thrown out. The shaft's been thrown out. For you, etc. He died upon a cross. Buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. Now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for them that accepted him as Lord and Saviour. What a Saviour we have tonight. And he can be yours. He's mine. He's Jordan, he's Sadie's, he's Goose, he's Heiner's, Netta's. Sadie's. He's our Saviour. And he's our Lord. Will you take him as your Saviour tonight? Are you going to reject what you've heard tonight? Are you going to believe the rubbish that people tell you? You don't need that. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ says you need that. Except a man be born again, he cannot. Do you know the difference between it? Cannot see the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless the evening and his precious word tonight. Amen. Father, we give you thanks and we praise you once again for our time. We thank you for the clay lips, Father. It's your word and we pray you use it to your glory, honor and praise. We pray that souls will come to know thee as Lord and Saviour. And we pray that none of them be foolish to reject thee. We commit it into your hand. For thy word is truth, Father, and there we commit it and leave it in Satan's loving precious name. That every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. In the Saviour's name we thank you. Amen. Amen.
Maybe we want to do more about